Hi, I'm Gail.
And hi, I'm Catherine. Welcome to Women Over 70, Aging Reimagined, our award-winning weekly podcast. Please visit womenover70.com and consider joining Aging Reimagined Circle, our sustaining membership fund, so we may continue to inspire women to age with curiosity, courage, and creativity. Members enjoy monthly programming and probing discussions, and we hope to see you on Zoom.
Sandy Gordon, 79, was introduced to us by her husband, attorney David Leibowitz, who attended a meeting of my Wonder Women Mastermind Club. So we thank you, David. One of her colleagues said this about her in a toast as she retired from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons in Rosemont, Illinois, as director, public relations. It would be enough to comment on Sandy's talent and imagination, but that is actually the smaller part of her whole person. The bigger part is her heart and her humor. Sandy has the type of personality that makes everyone around her better, happier, funnier, brighter, smarter. She just makes the day better. Her energy and spirit is irrepressible. I have worked with many people in my professional life over the past 23 years, and Sandy Gordon sits at the top of the mountain. It's really beautiful. Sandy grew up in a small Jewish community in Fargo, North Dakota. She had the first bat mitzvah in the area because she asked, "Just because I'm a girl, why can't I be a bat mitzvah?" That's indicative of how Sandy has conducted her life. She had a friend with cerebral palsy, and so she studied special ed in the hopes of changing the world for people with disabilities. She loves fashion and says age should never keep us from looking good and trying new looks. All of her work has been for nonprofits. So, Sandy, welcome to Women Over 70, Aging Reimagined. There's much to be said of you. And, you know, I'm interested in this. You won an Emmy for public service, for a public service ad you created for Easter Seals. And I'm curious to know, how did you go from teaching special ed to becoming an award-winning communicator?
Well, it wasn't as easy. I loved being a special ed teacher, and my first job was in Virginia. And at that time, in the 60s, it wasn't the best time to bring a special ed class into a school where the principal had never had a Jewish teacher. She'd never had Black kids in her school. She never had special ed, and she made fun of the kids in my class. On Thanksgiving, she asked me what me and my people celebrated. It wasn't a good situation, and so I started my troublemaking advocacy career at that time, getting my class to a different school. And while I was in the midst of causing this trouble, I was aware that it was a presidential campaign, and Hubert Humphrey, who was from Minnesota and I loved, was the senator, and he was running for president. And he happened to have a grandchild with Down syndrome. And I just got an idea one day, and I did something that now, I mean, you'd never be able to do this today, but I walked into his headquarters in downtown Washington, D.C., and I just told the person at the desk that I had an idea for Senator Humphrey, and I'd like to talk to him. And he was sitting there, and he just said, "Come on over." Crazy. And I sat down with him and said, "You know, I know you have a granddaughter with Down syndrome. No presidential candidate has ever cared about, at that time, was called handicapped people. Nobody had ever organized handicapped people. Nobody cared about issues like transportation and education and accessibility and communication that were important to disabled people. And I said, I think you should do it. And I think we should register people to vote." And he looked at me and hired me on the spot to become executive director of Friends of the Handicapped for Humphrey Muskie. Huh. At which point I stopped teaching and I did something. I mean, I had no training, knew nothing about communications, and I started writing speeches and issue papers and ads, and I traveled all over the country organizing people and registering people with disabilities to vote. And even though that had a very sad outcome of that election, I never went back to teaching, but I did become an advocate for people with disabilities. And then every other job I had since had to do with communications and with being an advocate.
Wow. So you stood up for yourself to become the first female bat mitzvah in Fargo.
And well, I did. I didn't like it that all these boys were having one, and it made no sense to me that I couldn't have one either.
Oh, good for you. Yes. And so how else has this shown up in your life? Did you continue to do this sort of thing?
Oh, I have continued to be an advocate and to cause trouble and stand up for myself in many different ways. I would say from the very beginning, when I was in college, I was very involved with the civil rights movement, with protesting the war in Vietnam. I worked very hard on Roe v. Wade and can't even begin to discuss about my feelings about what's happened today. I became an advocate for disabled people, for my children in many ways. And I found that I had to be an advocate for myself as well. And it's not that easy, but I think when I was an advocate for others, it became easier to do that. And I recently remembered something, advice my mother gave me, which, I mean, as a mother, I mean, you would never today give your daughter this advice, but I had forgotten about it. My mother told me that, and this was, I was probably 16 years old, that you can never let a boy know that you're smarter than he is. And they always have to feel like they're smarter and that they win. And so even when I was playing ping pong and beating them, she told me, no, you have to let them win. Boys have to win. And I had forgotten that until recently when I thought about how I actually was able to use that to my advantage in all the different jobs I had in getting my way and letting my bosses sometimes think that my ideas were theirs, but being able to do whatever I really wanted to do. And I was talking about this to somebody, and my husband David came in the room and he said, do you use that on me? Wait, smiled and said, perhaps. I said, when it's been necessary. But fighting for myself has not been easy, but has been important in my life.
Well, I take it, Sandy, that getting the recognition is less important than getting the job done that you want. Is that true?
Absolutely. And look, winning an Emmy Award was awesome and wonderful. And I've been fortunate to have recognition from, and men won many awards in my lifetime, but that was never what it's about. It was always about doing what's right and making a difference in people's lives. And one of the biggest ways that I ended up fighting for myself, and I never even could believe that I had the ability to do it, was when I was offered a job in Chicago, and I worked at Sister Kinney Institute in Minneapolis and had just produced a show at the Guthrie Theater called Disabled Genius that starred Mercedes McCambridge. And a woman named Ruth Rothstein, who was the president of Mount Sinai Hospital in Chicago, heard about it and brought me to Chicago to speak to the board of directors at Mount Sinai about bringing this show to the Theater of the Art Institute. And I did. I came and talked to the board. And when I was finished, she offered me a job in Chicago and working for Schwab Rehab Center. And it was a great job. It was a lot more money than I was making in Minneapolis, but I had just gotten divorced. I had three little kids. I had been married to a lawyer, but I really wanted this job. And my ex-husband refused to allow me to leave the state of Minnesota with my children. And my case went to the lower court where I won. He then appealed it to the Court of Appeals, a three-judge panel of men who said if I want my children, I had to stay in the state of Minnesota. And I then appealed to the Supreme Court of Minnesota, which cost me every bit of money I had, and I won. It was a very important case for a woman's right to support herself and her children and to take a job in another state. And Gordon v. Gordon was a precedent-setting case for women. And that was probably the first time I ever really fought for myself that way. And everything turned out great because my children turned out, all three, to be exceptional, exciting, wonderful, accomplished people. And something I feel very proud of.
You should. You absolutely should. Yeah. It's fighting for ourselves. Not all women grew up understanding that that was even possible or even tried. Women our age. And so,
that for sure. And I think probably if this hadn't happened to me, I might have been the same. But I guess when your back is against a wall and there's something that just doesn't seem right about what's happening, you do what you have to do.
I had a similar story of my own divorce, not taking it to the Supreme Court, but similar. And I won't talk now, but I totally understand how you felt and why you needed to do that for them and for you. Yeah, that's terrific. So I noticed there's all those awards behind you.
There are.
Yes, right. And so are those Easter Seals and others that you've won? What, tell us about those.
Yes, there are many, and I couldn't keep them all because there were so many. But the fun thing was, you know, I had all these wonderful jobs in communications without any background. So I had ideas, and it was all about being creative and coming up with ideas at the different places where I worked. Where I worked at Easter Seals for 10 years and loved that. I worked at the American Academy of Dermatology, at the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. And at each place, I came up with different ideas and different ways to be strategic and to promote those various specialties. And at each one, everything had to do with people with disabilities. So I did things I had no idea how to do. And I think that for all women, it's important sometimes to just believe in yourself and try to do something. So I had an idea that I could change attitudes about people with disabilities by producing a comedy review at Second City, ETC, mm-hmm. called Staring Back. And it was a huge success. And it got people, it was a cast of all people with disabilities. It got people laughing and listening and paying attention and changing the way they thought about disabled people. And, you know, I did art exhibitions. I did TV, radio, print ads, documentaries, things that I never knew how to do, never thought I could do. And yet I did, and was very fortunate, you know, to be recognized for a lot of the work that I did.
I'm curious because that what you just talked about has so many different skill sets.
Right.
And I'm wondering, were you able to bring on people to help you with certain things, or was it really always you? Were you doing this?
Oh, no. I always had a wonderful staff of people. I was fortunate to hire exceptional, often young women that I trained and taught, even though half the time I didn't even know what I was doing. But I had the ideas, and I had a great staff, and we made these things happen and work. And I was able to get the people on their different boards of directors on board with them. And I had a boss who would say, listen to these ideas, and he would say, well, all right, we don't have money to do it. If you can raise the money to do it, then go ahead. And I got my staff together, we brainstormed, and I went out and raised, you know, over $1 million to do a whole program on identifying, for instance, all the orthopedic surgeons who had been alive during World War II and did oral histories and then did a documentary and wrote a book and did an exhibit. But it involved, I always involved my staff, and help them learn how to do things. And if we made mistakes, we just fixed it and we went on and tried something new again. And that's what was fun for me. And I look at my staff and all the people that I worked with today, and I see how successful they are and the things they're doing, and I feel good about it. And, you know, we get together and they will tell me all the things they're doing and how much they appreciated all the opportunities they had to do things that they never might have before.
And you probably never had courses in human resource.
Never. I never had a communications course either. Which is why I think sometimes as women, you just have to try things and believe in yourself and think that you can do it. And if something doesn't turn out right, try again and try something else. But I was lucky that I was able to make these things happen and to come up with some surprising ideas.
I don't think it was luck.
I don't.
It didn't sound like it was luck. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it was imagination and persistence and teamwork and all sorts of
qualities. A lot of those things. And the doctors that I worked with were also funny. They used to make this joke that they would never want to be inside my brain because there was always like crazy things going on.
How else does your creativity show up?
Oh, in many ways, I guess. I mean, a lot of it has been in just, for instance, decorating our apartment, mm-hmm. and coming up with kind of fun, creative, interesting ideas. For instance, we have a barn door, a sliding, and it was all white. And I thought, wouldn't that be fun to have an artist come in and do this big mural of Zoe, my dog? And so we have this huge mural when you walk in of Zoe. And my children thought I was insane. I think David thought this was insane. But David's been very good about letting my creativity come out and having him be involved in this. I would give him ideas for marketing his law practice, which was kind of fun. And I would also get very involved, I think you mentioned, with fashion. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I love. And I love interesting clothes. I love glasses. I have probably 15 pairs of glasses. And my husband, David, now has many pairs, probably 10, when he had one when we met. And I've tried to encourage my friends, even at this point in our lives, to be creative and be open to new looks and doing something, wearing something, getting cool boots or something that you never would imagine that you would do. And one of my friends said she would never wear red ever. And I kind of coerced her into at least trying something. And now she wears it all the time. So I think, you know, the creativity is just fun. It's something that even since I've been retired, I feel like I'm always coming up with ideas, whether it's to travel someplace or do something fun or theater. I belong to the Soho House and the Arts Club in Chicago, so I'm probably the oldest member of the Soho House alive. But all these things are fun for me, and having ideas are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you know what else I like to do is cooking. And so I like to create things that are beautiful and have interesting, pretty dishes, you know, dishes to serve. And mm-hmm. I thought when I retired that I was going to cook because I was always a gourmet cook and I would love to do this. And then I mm-hmm. retired and decided that was a seriously bad idea to spend all my cooking.
So. Too much else to do, right?
Yeah, and I do it on occasion, but not that much.
How long have you been retired?
I retired in 2014. So,
a while.
10 years.
Yeah.
Was that a difficult decision for you? Or how did you know it was time to retire?
Well, it wasn't a difficult decision. I was turning 70, and things were changing at work, and the things that I loved to do, I could kind of see the handwriting on the wall that that the Academy may not want to keep doing these sorts of things that I loved. But I don't know. I thought about whether I wanted to keep working longer, but I thought, you know, I'm going to turn 70. It's a perfect time. And everybody I worked with thought I'd never be able to retire, that I would go crazy. I would have nothing to do with myself. And I would just be bored out of my mind. And I had a wonderful send-off. I was very lucky. I had a great party. They did a video for me. The doctors wrote wonderful things for a book. And so I felt like I left at just the right time. And it was, and I don't know, I woke up the next morning and I felt great. And I have been involved with my family and my friends and my grandchildren and the arts. And I keep busy all the time. The first thing I did was decide to let my hair go gray. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of my friends were appalled and told me I was going to look ancient and old, and why on earth was I doing it? And I said I wasn't trying. Well, I wasn't trying to look like I was 30. Yeah. And since then, they have all turned gray as well. So
you're quite an influencer.
Yes.
It seems like fashion and just presenting who you are with a lot of verb.
Yeah. You know, it's a kind of about yourself, and you can't help but doing it. And, you know, it's fun, and it's fun, and it's fun, I think, to have my friends who are willing to look and try new things. Mm-hmm. And get them involved in some new and different things, or a new look, something you might not have thought you'd ever do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always kind of said to myself, well, you know, never say never. And I said I would never rent. I would always own something. But we're now renting an apartment, and it is phenomenal, wonderful. I love it. After our beloved golden doodle Kramer died a few years ago, I said I will never get another dog. And we now have an adorable Bernedoodle named Zoe. When I was online dating, this was like 20-some years ago, I had two nevers. I would never get involved with another lawyer.
No, I was wondering.
And I will never live in Highland Park. And I met a lawyer from Highland Park. So, you know, but I did get out of Highland Park, but I still have a lawyer. And
I mean, and that's the way to do it. Yes. Out to the universe, I will never.
Yes, right. Yes. I've had a lot of those in my life. And I think at this point, too, having a sense of humor about yourself and being able to laugh at yourself is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, because we all do crazy things. And we all say, oh, I'll never do that. I'm not going to do that. Nope, that's not me. Mm-hmm. Well...
Do you ever really think about your own aging? Do you think about it at all?
Well, sometimes when I get out of bed in the morning, yes. And you have aches and pains, sure. But, you know, it's not something I dwell on. I think I feel so grateful and to be alive, to be healthy, to be able to travel, to do the things that I love to do. I think that as we get older, there's things that will happen, and we have to be so grateful to have our health. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, do I wear tank tops anymore? Probably not. Do I wear short sleeves and hold my arms up? Maybe not as much as I used to. But it's okay. I feel fine aging. I don't feel like I have to prove anything to anybody. You know, I don't know. You probably both have read Nora Ephron's book, I Feel Bad About My Neck. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that book, I read it like every couple years, I reread it because it just cracks me up. And I remember sitting in the back of a taxi and looking in the taxi's rearview mirror and looking at my neck and thinking, oh my God, is that me? And I read her book, and she has that whole scene that happened to her as well. And, you know, it's nice. She wrote some interesting things at the end of it when she talked about how, you know, important it is to just eat, drink, and be merry, to seize the day, that life goes on, that, you know, it could always be worse. And she said, you know, and there's always the old saying, you know, it's better than the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how I feel. I feel grateful every day. I feel gratitude. I feel joy. I feel lucky to have a great family, to have good friends, and to have fun and to try new things. And we like to go eat. We love wine. I'm so lucky that I didn't do a never say never, and then I met this wonderful man who happens to be a lawyer. Okay, I forgive him for that.
I forgive.
Well, on that note, the time goes quickly, and we so thank you, Sandy, for being a part of Women Over 70 Aging Reimagined. Thank you.
So much fun. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for your loyalty. Because of you, our numbers are growing all across the country and overseas. And this is a good thing. Still, we need more subscribers and reviews on Apple Play and YouTube. Support Women Over 70 and let your voice be heard, and help us change the conversation about women aging.
good idea.